Scatman's Avenue.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh. Everybody, welcome to Did You Get My Text? I'm Meredith Salinger.
I'm Patton Oswalt.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for joining us again. We are your hosts. We are your guides. We are your docents for a recap of our week in the world and personally. Do you want to go first? Because I have something to talk about.
Okay, stop.
What?
Don't do the do you want to go first.
Because I like the do you want to go first. Because if you say no, then that's part of it. I like that.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Nope.
Okay. So basically, I have been kind of run down and sick this week. And it's because, and I was thinking about this past weekend, I went on tour, went to Brooklyn, went to Philly, came back home. And I toured like I was in...
Well, you're not done. You went to Brooklyn, you went to Philly, you flew back home, you had a show that night.
Well, what I'm saying is I toured like I was still in my early 30s. Friday morning, up at 4 a.m., fly to New York, do the Brooklyn show, up at 7 a.m. the next morning, go to Philly, do the Philly show, up early, I think, again, 7 a.m. Sunday, fly home, do the Largo that night, up early the next day, Monday, shoot all day at Universal, and... Again, in my 30s, could have easily handled all that and then done the rest of my week.
Could you have?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at my old calendars, it's clearly I was just going at...
Flying wipes me
out. Bad out of hell. Yeah, well, used to not wipe me out, and it felt like on Monday night, my body, all my organs and insides got together and said, we need to remind this motherfucker that he's 52. He's acting like he's in his 30s, and he can't be doing this.
Well,
and
honey, to be fair,
it totally shut me down.
52-year-olds can still handle that kind of stuff.
That much travel, an hour and a half talking each night.
I think.
Plus another show, plus acting all day. Like, I don't know. That was, no.
Okay.
Not at the
emotional toll that it takes to have to muster the energy to be charming and amazing on a show.
Just all that.
All that.
And then also now, because when you travel, there are still people are being safe because of COVID, but a lot of times at hotels, we just don't have room service, sorry. And then
you're starving.
So Friday night I had to cobble together a dinner, an honor bar dinner. It was the only food available. I didn't have enough time before my show for it to get delivered to me before I had to leave for the show. So my dinner, this is what my show was fueled by. My Friday show, after being on a plane since 4 a.m., can of Pringles, Honor Bar can of Pringles.
Were they the sour cream and onion ones?
Plain Pringles.
Okay.
And in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, that's a vegetable.
Wait, was
and
it
a
the
starch.
Little tiny third?
Little tiny third of a one. Not
a third
a whole,
of one.
No.
Because I could do a whole one.
Who can't?
It's like a tennis ball container.
It's
thing.
The best. So I had that. Had a little thing of beef jerky. It was also a thing of beef jerky. That's the
protein.
Then I had bourbon pecans, salted and glazed. Bourbon pecans, which I also treated as a
little bit of protein.
Protein and a little bit of booze, I guess. And then a little bag of caramel popcorn. It was all that was there. And that had to fuel my set. And it was pretty brutal. And then the next day when I got to Philadelphia, our friend Phil Rosenthal is in town shooting his show. So he invited me out.
Wait, explain who he is. He has a show called Somebody Feed Phil.
Phil Rosenthal created Everybody Loves Raymond. He has a show on... Netflix calls Somebody Feed Phil.
And he gets to go to all these delicious places and eat incredible food. And he asked you to join him in Philadelphia. And what'd you have?
Well, we went to a place called Laser Wolf, which is an Israeli place, and just had a crazy Israeli feast of apricot glazed chicken wings and lamb and beef meatballs and hummus. And with all kinds of different toppings and these roasted beets. I'm not the biggest beets fan, but this guy made beets. They were so friggin' tasty. Plus some of the best French fries I've ever had and a whole grilled branzino that just
ate the whole branzino.
But so that's the opposite. Now I'm overfueled with amazing food for that show that night.
And didn't
so
didn't you pass out on the floor or something?
Well, I just was so dizzy. I mean, I laid down. I didn't pass out, but I laid down and said, I'm going into a meat coma. Can I just put the microphone next to me on the ground and just speak into it? It was so comfortable.
What if you had done part of your set just laying on the ground?
I did do part of my set laying on the ground. I did. I did the Eugene Levy doing the Perry Como Still Alive sketch when he's literally lying on the stage floor with a microphone next to him going, kiss goodbye, goodbye. Like, it was that calm.
And towards tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. So,
wish me luck the same to you.
But
I won't forget. Sorry,
I'll
okay.
I'll be back in like 20 minutes.
Sorry, I'm not a singer.
So,
clearly.
I was so excited to be back out on the road, so I was so fueled up by the audiences and the reaction that I reverted back to, oh yeah, I'm in my 30s again, I can do all this. I'm in that weird zone, and I think a lot of 50-year-olds go through this. When you're still in your early 50s, there is still the last few scraps of delusion that connect you with your 20s and 30s. And my friends who are in their mid to late 50s have actually accepted and become calm and zen about the fact that they are, oh, actually I'm getting older, I can't live at that pace anymore.
Well, the weekend that you were away doing all those shows, I was having a big chill college reunion with my college friends.
Yeah.
So it was like the top 16. It was like the best friends, it was the best like 8 girlfriends and the best 8 boyfriends. When I say the best, I just mean like the ones we were close to.
For you, yeah.
And it was so fun, and it felt like I was back in college again, mm-hmm. and a lot of us were staying in the same house. My friend Jen invited all the girls to sleep in her house, and we would wake up in the morning and have breakfast, and it was just like college, and it was a beautiful fall day, and I saw the beautiful change of colors on the East Coast. I flew into Boston, drove with my roommate Joelle to my other roommate's house in Vermont. We went to the Dartmouth-Yale game, had so much fun rooting against Yale. And we tailgated. It was like we were back in college again, and it felt so good. And I was like, can't we just do summer school? Can we do college summer school and all of us just go back and stay for a month?
You want to do like the Will Ferrell movie Old School, where you just kind of go, well, for like a week, I get to be in my 20s.
No.
In that movie, they just permanently decide to stay in their 20s.
No, I don't want to stay in my 20s. I want to go back as who we are right this second.
Oh.
But all of us stay in the dorm in our, you know, we lived in a place called Elliott House. Mm-hmm. It's like a dorm, basically. Mm-hmm. As our age right now, go back and just do it like we did in college. Go to really interesting courses, go to interesting lectures, go to football games. We don't need to be with the young people. I'm not saying we need to be there with like 18-year-olds. I'm just saying like, can we have a month back in college as the people we are now?
I think you'll have to do that in your mind.
I know.
I don't know what to tell you.
They all wanted to do it too.
You had a big chill reunion with your college friends. I had a big chill reunion with my 20s with stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But my body ended up rejecting it. I said, no, you need to embrace being in your 50s.
And
don't
my
do
body
this.
Was invigorated by it and like, you should go back to college. You need to go back. You need to live on the East Coast again and be with your smart friends. Not that I don't have smart friends here, but, you know, just like...
I wonder how long you would last before your body rejected it, or would your body reject
it? No, it would say, stay here forever.
It would reinvigorate you?
Yes, it would say, be a professor here and stay.
Stay with us, Eleanor. Stay with us forever. You've always been a sophomore here, Mr. Torrance. I'm beginning to accept my
age
50 dotage.
Whatever, we get it. I, on the other hand, got excited by being social again because I haven't left my house in 2 years, except for that one time I went to visit my friend who lives a mile away from me. I went on a trip to see her for 3 days. She was in Sun Valley. Anyway, this was my second trip in 2 years.
Wow.
And now all I want to do is have plans with my friends again.
Yeah, but your trip was invigorating because you went somewhere and you stayed. My trip was never really unpacked.
Yours was work.
Got in, worked, repacked. I was like a...
That's the difference, honey.
Yeah, I was like a contract killer going from city to city, like, don't leave any trace, move, don't totally unpack, keep your clothes laid out. You got to get up early the next day, any second. Yeah, it was, there was, it was just not. And also, I didn't have a chance to acclimate to my surroundings. I read this really cool thing where when you're in a new environment, your body, to protect you, will subconsciously make, kind of keep you on alert for new noises and stuff. It's a survival instinct. That's why I always say that hotel sleep is like sleep without the nutrition in it. You, yes, you lie down for 8 hours. You don't really wake up that refreshed.
Hmm.
At least I don't. Because I think everyone thinks trying to kill me.
I was going to say something and I can't remember what it was.
What? I spoke for 30 more seconds. How did you forget it that quickly?
Because you were boring.
Because you're boring.
And then my mind started to wander, like, how long is this conversation? How long is he going to keep talking? And so I just sort of tuned out to what you were saying and completely forgot what I was going to. You guys, I'm really good at podcasting. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you should be delighted with your co-host's little side alleys and who knows where it'll go.
Listen, if I had a stranger professional co-host, then I probably would be, but it's just you. And sometimes I'm like, ugh.
Wow. Welcome to another episode of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Watch a marriage slowly disintegrate. We will be back after we tell you about our sponsors.
Okay, I guess. I mean, who knows? Are we cutting to a commercial break right now or are we not?
We are.
How do you know?
You just said we'll be right back. I figured you wanted to throw to a commercial.
Yeah, but who decides that?
You just did.
Okay. Okay, fine. Hey, guys, stay. One of us is going to tell you about our sponsors. Just stay. I mean, don't leave. Just stay.
Boy, was that exciting. So many great new products. There's a thing, I think up to this point, it's been cut out of the podcast, but a lot of times when we flub or say something awkward or something that we don't want in the podcast, Meredith will go, Kyle, cut that out. Kyle is our editor and producer. And it reminds me, there are YouTube compilations you can watch in every Tarantino film. His beloved editor, his late editor, Susan, I'm blanking on her last name. But whenever somebody would mess up a scene, they would look at the camera and go, hi, Susie, because they knew that she had to
Do
the editing. So I just love that little link that Kyle is always waiting for us to go. Maybe we'll leave one of those in just so you'll know what it sounds like, what Kyle has to hear. Yeah. But we do have this little system to our editor. And it's usually Meredith is one who jumps on it and catches the thing. She's like, Kyle, no, but get
I'm
rid
like,
of that.
Oh,
no.
That's so stupid. Kyle, cut that shit out. Cut that out, Kyle.
But keep in mind, think of the stupid shit we've left in here.
Really?
I and Meredith have said some insanely dumb things on these episodes.
Meredith and I.
Well, there you go, right there.
Sorry, well, I'm just saying, we're trying to teach our daughter proper grammar.
Yeah, but we could have said, Kyle, cut that out. No, we left that in.
No.
So if you think of the dumb stuff we've already left in this, it's titanically stupid things that we've cut out of this.
Yeah, but it's more just like flubs.
Yeah. Like I said that One Is the Loneliest Number was written by Paul Williams when it was actually written by Harry Nilsson.
Yeah, but the thing is you kept that in and then a listener had to
email
us and say,
excuse me.
That's actually.
Excuse me.
But actually I was very happy the person did because. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I also think you caught it after we sent it, after we sent that podcast in.
I was like, no. And it just wasn't worth it. I was like, you know what? It was like leaving an Easter egg. It was leaving an error egg for the listeners to find.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Little error egg.
We had friends over the other, we talked about this. We had two young friends. They're like in their 20s. We watched a movie with them.
Oh.
And they were a really cute couple. And they said something, they asked us like, how do you guys like doing a podcast together as a married couple? And I was like, ugh. We keep fighting. Like, we literally, we haven't in a while.
No.
But I was like, it makes us fight right before we start.
Yeah, we get all wound up.
Yeah, and then they were like, yeah, that's why we stopped doing it.
Yeah, they were doing one together
and then they
just
stopped.
Flat out.
They're like, this sucks.
So if you're listening right now, we've really stuck with this through some weeks when there have been a couple episodes, I won't say which ones, but right
beforehand. The third episode.
Well, the third episode, there was a Titanic fight, but there were also episodes where unspoken beforehand, neither of us wanted to talk that day. It was, oh, we got it. And then and when we start talking, then it starts getting interesting and we end up discovering things, but it's the starting of stuff sometimes that is so hard. I'm writing a thing now and it's the first couple of pages that are so brutal. And then once you get going, then you're good.
Well, I think that's with anything, like even exercise. If you haven't exercised in a long time and you have to start, it's like, oh God.
I can't do this.
And then they're like, just put on the exercise clothes. Maybe it'll make you feel like it. Just once. I even had someone say to me, like, just say you're going to exercise for 5 minutes. Just today, just exercise for, don't do 1 second more. Mm-hmm. Don't do 1 second more. Because it's like, well, clearly you can accomplish 5 minutes.
Yes.
And at that point, you're like, I just accomplished 5 minutes. And you feel really proud of yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'll just do it for 5 more minutes. Because you're already there and you're already dressed. And you might as well. And I think that's like the psychological trick to get people to start things. It's like, listen, do not just write 3 sentences. Don't write one more sentence.
And that's all you get to write.
Do not write one more sentence.
Yeah.
You only are allowed to write 3. Go write 3. And don't even try to write 4. And then you're like, itching to write the 4th, and then you kind of
Yeah, that's something I remember.
It's a trick, man.
Harlan Ellison saying in an interview, whenever you're writing a really exciting scene, people, a lot of writers go, and then you, when the scene you really want to write, when you get to that, that's when you really go. It's like, no, stop and save it for the next day. Because then all night you'll be bubbling and yes, yes. And then when you hit it the next day, you'll
hit it even harder, and you'll
write it even better.
No, if you're in that moment and you feel that burst of energy in that moment, you're like, oh, you're getting to the scene and you're excited, write it. Don't stop yourself. No.
It's Harlan Ellison. He's the most awarded writer in history.
Well,
so.
Meredith Salinger said.
Well, I just said, I've written some award-winning emails, so.
Oh, I can write an email. I am so good. If something's wrong, if like something, you know, if there's a complaint of some kind, if there's a, oh God, Kyle, cut this part out. My brain just stopped.
But leave that part in.
You want the viewers to see when I lose my brain cells?
Why do we keep calling them the viewers?
Oh, they're not viewers.
They're listeners.
Right,
we haven't gone to video yet.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners.
When will we? Oh, but if we make the switch to doing this video.
Then we have to look good. I look like, no.
You better be happy with our voices because we, and I know that video gets you more viewers, but you don't want to see us when in the middle of the day on a weekday. Not
I mean,
good.
I think people probably assume you look the same all the time.
That is true.
I, on the other hand, am a friggin' wreck.
I've at least established in the public eye that I look like a pile of dirty laundry, where you, unfortunately, have established in the public eye that you are ravishing and gorgeous. And if they saw
little do
you,
they know.
Little do they know
the
forest hag that inhabits.
Forest hag?
No,
is that better than swamp witch?
You know, no, Swamp Witch, I think, is better than Forest Hag.
Did we already tell everybody that
I don't think so.
That we named, like, as a family, like, clearly Alice is our little dirt goblin.
She's a dirt goblin.
And we call her a dirt goblin sometimes when she's being dirty and, like, a little kid who gets dirt all over herself, which is the cutest thing in the world, by the way. Yeah. And then you took...
What did I take?
Toilet
hippo? I took toilet something.
No, and then we changed it to something imp.
Oh, Toilet Imp.
No, it wasn't Toilet Imp.
I thought it was Toilet Imp.
No, it was like, no, it wasn't.
And then you're a swamp witch.
And I don't like that. I don't want to be a swamp
witch.
What
do you want to be?
Something adorable.
Well, swamp witches can be adorable.
No, they cannot.
They've got cures and poultices and salves.
I want to be like a, you know, a prairie pixie or something cute.
That's not. That we are all different monsters.
Forest fairy.
No, that's not a horrible monster. We're all horrible monsters.
I know, but I don't want to be that.
Well, that's too bad.
Okay.
Speaking of this, talking about energizing oneself, I believe it was on, it was on Friday. Meredith had a particularly really hard, busy day. I mean, I'd never seen someone. It was nonstop from 7 a.m. on. Zoom meetings, conferences, emails, you're organizing like 4 different projects right now. It's insane. And you hit this wall where you basically told everyone, no, this happened on Monday. You hit a wall. It was Monday that was crazy. And then
I sent a text to you and Alice that said,
it said, I am in my room. The door is closed. Do not bother.
I said,
mommy is not here anymore.
I said, I am done momming for the day.
I'm done momming, like, forever. And then an hour later.
No, and I said I was in a murderous rage.
A murderous rage, yeah.
And then.
Because the day went so crazy. And it was all these, you know, I need answers on these things. And everyone just going, I'll let you know as soon as I can.
You're like, No. But then half the things that were planned, it was like someone was supposed to do one thing and their car broke down. So then I had to take that over. And then,
I had
to do 97 jobs at home.
That's right.
In addition to a lot of other jobs that were not supposed to be on my plate that ended up on my plate. And I was just.
Anyway.
In a murderous rage. But then I wrote, I said, no one bother me. I'm done momming. And I'm in a murderous rage.
Right.
And then a half hour later, I was like, okay, everyone, murderous rage over, but just FYI, I'm still off duty. Yeah.
But then, like an hour later, I get an invite to a premiere. And suddenly, Meredith, who is, I'm exhausted, I have no energy, is an even bigger tornado of energy and focus of, I got to get this dressed up. I need this hair. I mean,
wait.
You were like a general preparing an army for an invasion.
It was amazing. I had the most horrific migraine. I was so exhausted. Yes.
So you had hit this, like your eye was, something was wrong with your eye. You had such a migraine.
My entire body was aching. But then you said.
And telling you, like your body literally like, lie down right now.
Right.
Or I'll make you fall down.
Well, I felt like I was going to fall down.
Yeah.
So I was in bed and then you texted me, hey, we got invited to this premiere. And now here's the great news about what happened for me over coronavirus. It was so stressful for me that I lost like, I don't know, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was horrific and stressful and terrible, but thank you God, I was so chubby. I needed to. But the problem with losing that weight is that now literally none of my clothes fit me.
Right.
And so when you said we got invited to a premiere, I was like, I literally have nothing to wear.
And, right, everything's too big.
Right, and if you take something to the tailor, it takes them like days or weeks, depending how busy they are. So I was going through my closet trying to find something that would look semi-okay, and everything had to be fixed. And so I had to call my tailor to be like, you can't come in today. I'm too busy today. Well, and so I was, you know, losing my marbles because I had to find something because what am I going to do? Show up on the red carpet, you know, in a robe?
Are you?
Because that's really
That would be pretty ballsy if you did. Are you gonna wear heels or are you going to wear sneakers?
Well, one premiere I'm going to wear sneakers to because it's a casual premiere and one is a fancy premiere. And I will don the high heels that I have not worn in 2 years. I haven't worn high heels in 2 years.
I
hope I don't fall over.
There was a short video on SNL this past weekend called Grown Ass Ladies at the Club, and which I could not wait for Meredith to see because I knew it would speak to her. The scene where the woman in her really fancy, what are the red-soled shoes called?
Christian Louboutin.
Yeah, she got her Louboutins on. And then 5 minutes after entering the club, she's jamming her feet into ice buckets in the kitchen. Like, please give me your boots. Like, that's, if you see pictures of Meredith on a red carpet, just know she is thinking of, when can I get into the Birkenstocks that I've hidden in my purse so I can enjoy this?
Well, that's the other thing. It's hard to, like, your purses are so small.
Yes.
Unless you're bringing a tote bag to a premiere, which is really
weird. That's right. All the purses have gotten really
tiny. They're so tiny.
The little clutches.
I think every premiere and or wedding and or prom should have a huge basket of like flip-flops or ballet shoes or something like that.
Yep.
That everybody can just, slippers.
Right.
There should just, at every event, there should just be a basket of slippers for people, like, get your picture taken, be happy, look pretty cute. Everyone's like, oh, look how pretty you look. And then, boom, change.
What if it's set up like a bowling alley where you get to the end of the red carpet
and
then you take your things and there's a guy there.
Yes.
You hand him your heels.
Oh my
God. He's like, what size are you? It's like 6. And he grabs you some comfy shoes and gives you a ticket and you go pick it up later.
That is the most brilliant. I think if we ever throw a party,
we're going to do that. We should hire a person to give out people comfy shoes after you get your pictures taken.
Although I think a party that we would have would just have like 10 people. So,
and also we wouldn't hire photographers. No, we're not doing that.
No. But to have a basket of cozies.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
Yeah. Everyone needs to be cozy.
So yeah, that's again, watching, there is nothing that will It was like watching Popeye eat his spinach. Like, she literally lay down.
I was dying.
Eye twitching, head throbbing. I can't. And I'm like, hey, I just got this thing. Vroomp. Okay, I need. And she was like, come out here. Look at this. What is this? No, shoulders too big. I knew it. Damn it. But it was just like completely re-energized. It was amazing.
And then we were all at dinner. And then Alice, we were all imitating each other. And then Alice was imitating me. And she calls it like the stressed out power walk.
Yeah.
She's like, mom, you have a
stomping.
Stressed out
man,
power.
Man, when you stomp around the house, oh boy, I can tell when you're in task mode because it sounds like a transformer going into battle.
Well, no, I'm not, I don't have a heavy footprint. I have a quick footprint.
Yeah, but it thuds, it lands heavy.
Not really.
Well, but she also, Alice also nailed the thing where there are some days when you are so in task mode, you simply don't eat. And then you have this thing, and I forgot who coined this
like
term.
Like 3 in the afternoon.
It was a Twitter person, and someone reminded me, because I love this tweet so much about the diet he's on, where he's like, I'm quoting someone else, but he's like, sensible light breakfast, salad for lunch, and then dinner, 8,000 calorie chaos meal, where you just grab everything inside. So you don't eat all day, but then your dinner is some cheese puffs, some slices of turkey.
No.
Some candy bar. Like, it's just nuts.
That's not true.
Sweetie.
That is absolutely 100% not true.
Really?
No. I have, in the refrigerator, I have a little Tupperware cut up with cucumbers and celery and carrots.
Yeah.
And chicken.
Yeah.
And so when I'm ravenous at 3 in the afternoon, I grab one piece of chicken, one carrot, one celery, one thing, and with a little bit of hummus, and I'm like, okay, I just, there, done. I nourished myself.
At 10 p.m., you have a bag of Smart Pop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then at 10 p.m., I eat popcorn. Patton, I sent you a text.
Yes, I got it. I know the one you're talking about.
It's a picture of Popeye and olive oil. Well, it's not. It's people.
A couple
dressed up
like Popeye.
Because Halloween is coming, and we need to figure out a costume. And I would really, really, really love to do a couple's costume slash. It'd be great if Alice would play with us.
Well, that's our new dilemma. Is that she used to be for a couple of years, not last year. Obviously, there was no Halloween, but she would pick a costume and we would be the adjuncts to the costume.
Right, like for 1 year, she was the Joker. I know that she was the Riddler and we were her two goons.
We were her goons.
Right, that was fun.
That was great.
But I would like to do, well, one of my best friends is doing, she's super skinny. Mm-hmm. And she's playing Gilligan and her husband is going to be the skipper. So they have their cute little outfit. That would have been a good one.
Mm-hmm.
No, but not for us, because you got to be like a skinny little scrawny person to be Gilligan.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you and I could join them and we could be Mr. and Mrs. Howell. Or what would be even funnier is if I were Marianne and I was going to say you'd be the professor, but no, you'd be Ginger.
But Ginger is also very lithe and
yep, that's why
slim.
It would be funny.
It feels like such a clanky joke now. Like, oh, he's not, look at the fat guy, that's not Ginger.
Okay,
like,
you're right, that's stupid. You could be the professor. But really, I think we'd thrive as, you'd be a great skipper.
But you said the husband's already being
Yeah, but he'd
skipper.
Be a better professor.
Were there any famous guest stars on that show? Like remember
like
every
Love
other
Boat?
Week somebody would, no, but somebody would pop on and then, oh, that guy's going to rescue us. And then they would just
never
not
get rescued.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember if they were like famous guest stars like they used to have on Love Boat.
Right. Well, no, there were people that became future celebrities that were guest stars.
Like?
Kurt Russell.
Was on Gilligan's Island?
As Jungle Boy.
Aww.
Yeah, a very young Kurt Russell.
God,
he was a child actor.
He's the cutest.
And then Don Rickles was on an episode. And so was Silvers.
Who's that?
Sergeant Bilko.
Who's that?
Kid, come on. You work with me here.
That's, oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. This is the costume I've been dying to play forever and ever.
Yeah,
and
I
just need someone to help me make it because I'm not good at anything. I can't cook. Although I did cook recently last week. But and I can't sew. But my mom can. Anyway, I want to be Cinderella, but I don't want to be pretty Cinderella. I want to be dirty Cinderella.
Covered in ashes.
I
want to
be the Cinder Cinderella.
Yeah, Cinder.
And I want you to be Gus Gus, the little fat mouse. So cute.
But doesn't Gus Gus involve me wearing like a headpiece and I can't really...
All you need is a hat and a little yellow shirt and you could be pantsless, like Winnie the Pooh.
It's frightened people.
No, but
what if I was literally nude, but it just had, hey, that's how Gus Gus dresses. Come on, that's his thing. I'm trying to be authentic. I'm trying to recreate the Disney magic. Just coming up to people. Hey, happy Halloween. It's good that we can hug again.
Ew.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, you know what would be a great one for you and me?
What?
Mary Poppins and the Chimney Sweep. Bert, Dick Van Dyke.
Hello, Mary Poppins.
Because I really just want to be Mary Poppins or...
Well, you know what else would be? We'd
Dirty
be,
Cinderella, but I'll probably be Snow White because I do have that costume.
You know what else would be amazing? What? Is Morticia and Gomez.
But she has to be super tall.
But no, she just has to just be super hot and gothic.
Okay, fine. But I don't want to do that.
All right.
Anyway, what I would like is if you guys have a couple's costume, even if you do it with your kids, because that's always the best. You know who does that the best? Neil Patrick Harris. Every year, he does something.
He does. And John Cryer.
They do these amazing things, and they get the whole family, and it's incredible. Yeah. But listeners, not viewers, listeners, if you guys have a couple's costume or a family costume, please email them to us at heydidyougetmytext@gmail.com. We'll put one that we really love on our Instagram. But I really want to see other couples' costumes because I love that.
I think that Alice wants to do a thing with her friends. She's moving into that phase where she wants to do something with her friends. Maybe we can talk her into a family costume. I don't know. No, I hope so.
She wants to do, she wants to match them, not us.
Yeah.
Sucks.
We're not cool anymore.
We're not cool anymore.
Damn it.
Hey, did you get my text?
What do you think? What are you already anticipating and cringing about as to what will be? Because every year for Halloween, there are those topical, ironic costumes based on something that happened this year.
Well,
that
what has happened this year?
Well,
obviously people are going to come dressed as a coronavirus.
There'll be that. I feel like there's going to be a lot of Squid Game costumes because the track suits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of Ted Lasso teams.
There'll be a lot of Ted Lasso stuff. Do you think that there will be any White Lotus costumes?
I don't think you can actually dress like White Lotus.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pull that off.
Even though that was the best show ever.
What else happened in the news or like in culture that will be a thing? Because I always, I remember back in the late 90s, it was, that you go to a party and there'd be like a girl dressed like Monica Lewinsky in the blue dress with the stain.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, come on. So there's always that, what will that thing be? Last year or a couple years ago was Tiger King, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Tiger King. That was a thing. Yeah, maybe someone will come as the state of Texas and someone will.
Well, there's that really funny Onion headline about bounty hunter roars into Dallas with a bandolier of pregnancy tests on him. So there may be like a fetal bounty hunter. That would be really funny.
Yeah. Hilarious.
God. Yeah. But like, there's always going to be those costumes where you're like, can't there be like just classic Halloween costumes where it's just monsters or.
Right. Mm. And there will be. But your question was, what are the topical things that happened this year?
That I'm cringing about that are going to be Halloween costumes.
I don't even know. What I.
Oh, there'll be some January 6th rioters.
Oh, God.
There'll be some of those.
You know what? Sadly, they probably won't even be in costume.
Yeah,
they'll just be those people out in force.
Yeah, you ever like see those costumes where the person doing it realizes that they didn't actually nail it visually, so they'll just put a thing on that says January 6th rioter or something?
Well, do you remember that year that I dressed as a mechanic and I did put a sign on my shirt that said mechanic because
even though you totally look like a mechanic, there was no confusion.
I was wearing overalls with grease stains all over my face.
I get it.
With like a wrench in my pocket. I was a mechanic.
Oh God, now I'm just, I should have prepared for this topic, but what a good, you know what? Next episode, I'm going to make a list. We're going to each make our own top 10 list of the top 10, what we think will be the cringy, topical Halloween costumes that we're not looking forward to seeing. That'll be really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone will be waiting.
No sleep until that next episode
drops. Sleep till whatever happened that we're going to make fun of.
All right, we will be right back with some speak pipes.
Hi, Meredith and Patton. My name is Derek Key. I live out in Georgia. Patton, huge fan. You're my favorite comedian, and been a huge fan of you for ages. And Meredith, I hate to say, I'm mostly getting to know you through the podcast, but I'm trying to go through and watch movies. The Natty Gann is on my list. But I actually had a question specifically for you, Meredith. In the most recent podcast episode, you
mentioned that you majored in psych, or that your thesis was on multiple personality disorder. I went for my undergrad in research psychology, and I'm actually seeking my MSW right now, Master of Social Work. I'm trying to be a grief counselor for families, but that's a whole separate endeavor. I'm really interested in what is now known as dissociative identity disorder. What was your paper about? Like, did you just do like a write-up on the disorder itself, or did you look at specific cases? Were you like testing a theory? Really interested in that. And yes, you should absolutely watch United States of Tara. It's a fantastic show.
What was your thesis was on a very specific, at the time you wrote it, were you writing about multiple personality disorder or was it dissociative disorder? Because didn't it get renamed or something?
Well, it was multiple personality disorder, but you dissociate and then you have different alters. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a few things to say about it, but my thesis was basically about the origins and the cause of trauma and mainly like sexual abuse. So it was a coping mechanism for some sort of trauma and abuse was basically my thesis, and going into evidence of the majority of the people who get it have some sort of
It's like that book When Rabbit Howls. She basically
the best
made
book,
as she calls them, her troops that are there to, because what happens is, you know, when memories come up, the memory of trauma can feel like an attack, so internally you create allies and troops that can help
exactly
beat that back.
Right. So that was basically the thesis was,
yeah,
mainly to survive and cope with some sort of sexual abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what my thesis was.
Hi, Meredith and Patton. My name is Norma, and I live in Bellevue, Nebraska. My question is, how do you read a comic book? I feel like I missed this as a kid, and now I try to read a comic book, a graphic novel, and I'm just overwhelmed. What do I do? Do I look at the captions first? Do I look at the pictures? Do I try to just focus on one frame at a time? I don't know where to start or how to do it, but I really want to get into this medium. Thanks so much. I love the show, and I've loved you both for years. Bye.
Norma, that is the best question ever, because I, too, wasn't a big comic book person when I was younger. I mean, I read Archie's and stuff like that, but Patton reads his all the time. And when he gave me the Sandman comic on our first date, graphic novel.
The first one, Prelude to Doctor, the first collection. Thank you.
You're such a nerd. I love it. I made him read it to me because I was having trouble following it. So, honey, answer her question. That's a really great question.
I have a couple things to say here. One, I'm confused because one of your favorite graphic novels is a thing called Mouse Guard,
which is
very intricately drawn.
We
laid
talked
out,
about that in the last episode.
But how you're able to, you can follow that, but you can't follow something like Sandman. Anyway, that's
own
thing.
Maybe because I just spent a lot of time looking at each page, and I went really slowly. I think I read it very slowly.
A really good way, if you have an iPad or e-reader, there is a thing, there's an app called Comixology, because I download all my comics digitally now. I'm trying to go as paper-free as I possibly can. You can also get them on Kindle through Amazon, get your comics. And what you do is there's a feature called GV, Guided View. If you choose guided view, it moves you from panel to panel the way your eyes would move across the page, and it blows each panel up big. So you can choose whole page view and look at the whole page, or you do guided view, which is really amazing. It moves you from panel to panel.
Does it just show you the thing you're supposed to look at with the words for it?
Yes, just
the, I want boom. That. Okay. I want that.
Well, what I'm going to do, because,
or can they ever, do they ever like make it in just like a book so you can just read it and then look at the pictures as you flip the page?
That's what I gave you.
No, I know, but no, it's not.
I gave you a graphic novel collection, and you just got to look at each thing is you turn the page.
I know, but oh, forget it.
Try guided view on an e-reader. I discovered it last year, and I'm someone who reads and likes comics, and I like that even better because you really get a sense of how, you know, they lay out the pages the way they do.
But do they have every single comic? Every single?
Pretty much, yeah. Comixology has pretty much every comic.
So what do? You go to the thing and you just type in the thing you want to read?
Type in the stuff you want to read.
Oh, okay.
And they have graphic novel collections, and you also get new comics, new issues, all that stuff.
But what if you get it as a book and you just want, okay. Give the advice for if it's a book.
What do you mean if it's a book?
You know, the actual paper thing in your hand.
Well, then you have to slow down and look at each panel. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you have to open
okay,
each page
fine.
And look at each panel.
Listen, Norma, the bottom line is it takes a lot of time.
Norma, it does not. You're looking at words and pictures. You've been doing it since you were five.
Okay, well, I think it's hard.
Hey, Meredith. Hey, Patton. It's Tim. Thought I'd ask you that question, the age-old debate. If you could have any superpower, which one would you want and why? Bonus question, what would your superhero name be? Looking forward to seeing you in Philadelphia, Patton. Have a good one. Bye.
Tim, you have such a nice voice.
Yeah. Tim, I hope you enjoyed the Philadelphia show. That one was really, really fun. We got to get better at putting these up quicker. My standard answer for a superpower, it's always been the same thing, no fault teleportation. If I think of a place, boom, I zap there. I don't zap into a rock wall or the side of a steel bulkhead.
If you say you want to go to Paris, you're at a nice place in
yes,
Paris
exactly.
that you can walk around.
And I don't teleport like 3,000 feet in the air and then fall to the ground. Like I teleport someplace nice where I want to be in the best place, no fault teleportation, and I would call myself Mr. Blink.
Oh my God, I freaking love that. I didn't even know that was a possibility that we could do that.
That's the power. Mr. Blink.
I love that power because I was going to say I want to fly, but really, I don't want to fly. I'd be afraid of heights. I don't want to fly. I just want to be where I want to be when I want to be there in the place I want to be at. So guess what? I'm Mrs. Blink. I'm Pinky Blink.
No, I'm Mr. Blink and she's Blinkette.
Oh, that's cute. Let's be the Blinks.
The Blinks.
I love that. Great.
Thank you.
I want that
Thanks,
power.
Tim.
Can we actually somehow have that power?
If
Come
we
on,
could,
technology.
I would take it a second.
Hello, Meredith and Patton. I would like to know who would win in a 100-yard dash race, a donkey or a fire truck? Love you, Brian.
Is the donkey can just start running. You got to start the fire, or is the fire
wait,
truck already running?
Wait, guess what?
What?
That's the trick.
What?
Who would win in a running race, a fire truck or a donkey? Donkeys can run, but fire trucks can't run.
Oh, that's true.
They drive.
It's the donkey.
It's the donkey.
We're on to you, Brian.
Yeah, nice trick question.
Yeah. Come back next week. You're moving too slow.
Hello, Patton and Meredith. My name is Jacob, and I'm an actor in Chicago, and I just wanted Patton to know that he is the inspiration on my entire appreciation for stand-up comedy and the whole industry. Werewolves and Lollipops was my breakout thing that I chose, that I knew that I liked, and I would listen to it over and over and over and crack up to it. And I just found out that Patton might be a friend of a show that I'm on. I play Eric in season 5 of The Expanse, and when I found out that Patton Oswalt might like a TV show that I was on and might have seen me, it just gave me the special feely-wheelies. So if you like that show, if you enjoyed The Expanse, if you like season 5, I'm thrilled, Patton, and just wanted to let you know that you are my inspiration for all things funny. If you didn't like it, well, thanks for watching. Bye.
Jacob, I love The Expanse so frigging much. That show, it's The Wire, but in space, in terms of world building and where we are going to go, how things will probably be in the future. It really supports A.O. Wilson's, that great quote he has about our main problem is that we have prehistoric emotions, medieval institutions, and godlike technology. And that is so what The Expanse is about. No matter how much technology advances, we are still prey to our own petty human squabbles, and it is a fantastic show, and you are great on it. Season 5 is amazing. I don't want to talk, if anyone hasn't seen the show, I don't want to talk about all the new great twists, and that also means that you have worked with a friend of ours, Mr. Breck Eisner, who directs many of those episodes and directed one of the best episodes I've ever seen, where there's a gunfight that happens in zero gravity, and some of the combatants have clearly had zero gravity training and know how to use it to their advantage, and the other people have not. And it is fascinating to watch this sequence, how he set it up, and it must have been mind-cracking to film that, and he nailed it.
Wow, that's cool. What I liked about that was that you were his all-comedy inspiration.
Yes.
And you wrote a book called Werewolves and Lollipops.
No, I did an album called Werewolves and Lollipops.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't you write a book?
I wrote two books.
Silver Screen Fiend and?
The Zombie Spaceship Wasteland.
Right. Okay, so the lollipop thing. That was a special.
Well, that was a that was an album, and it was, and that's my favorite of my albums because it's taken from a single show in a single night at the Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas, and it's raw and there's really real audience interaction, and it's the closest to seeing me at a show, what it feels like on not the best night, but a night where I pull things together into something that I'm really, really proud of. It feels like you're really experiencing stand-up comedy, and I'm just really glad that that set got captured. It's just the uncut full set.
How old were you when you did that?
It's my second album. I was probably maybe in my late 30s.
Wow. I want to see that. Or hear that. Was it on video too, or just album?
I mean, I'm sure you can download it on iTunes. It's there.
No, but like, can you watch it?
Or
you
no,
can
it was only never listen- filmed. It's just it was just the audio.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I love comedy albums.
Yeah, and Sub Pop put it out on vinyl, which was really, really nice. Beautiful vinyl edition that they did that I was really happy with.
Jacob, I love that you found him inspiring. That's awesome.
Hey, Meredith and Patton. It's Maddie out in Riverside. Been re-listening to the podcasts because they make me smile. And that helps right now because I lost my mom on the 3rd. But she's not dealing with Alzheimer's anymore, so that's okay, period. I had two questions, though. One, Patton, can you please somewhere online put up a reading list of all the books you mention in either recommendations or some of the other ones you talk about, because I always think I'd like to listen to them, but then I can't find them. And second, Meredith, where is it you're from? Is it Ventura or Oxnard? I'm not sure you've mentioned where you're from. Okay, have a great day.
First of all, Maddie, I'm so sorry you lost your mom.
Yeah.
But yes, much better. She's not suffering from Alzheimer's.
That is true.
That is so hard.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Secondly, when someone says, hey, it's Maddie, I feel like it's very like your best buds. Because when you have a friend named Matt, you're like, if you're super close, you're like, hey, Maddie.
Right.
At least I have lots of friends named Matt. And the ones that I super love, I call Maddie.
Yeah.
So that's super cute. And I think you're fucking with me, Matt. You clearly, I have said a billion times where I'm from. And I know, first of all, I'm like, ew, Oxnard, ew. Okay, so for listeners who
have. We just lost our Oxnard fan base.
No.
You just decimated them.
I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not. I've never been to Oxnard. I have no idea. It could be lovely. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows that I'm from Malibu, California, because if you're from Malibu, you should tell people.
Yeah.
It's like if you went to Harvard, you should tell people. I don't know who would say that because it sounds kind of braggy. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if you had gone there, that's something you should say.
I'll try to make a list of all the books I've recommended.
Yeah, Obama has his list. He has his music picks.
Right.
He has his favorite books. He has his favorite. Be like Obama.
Well, on the Instagram updates, I put pictures of all the books and stuff that I recommend, but I'll try to go through the episodes and see what it is I've recommended so far. But yeah, all right.
Because the truth is, you do have great recommendations. And also, every time someone says, you should watch this show, you should do that, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I never remember.
Right, right.
So yeah, we'll find a way to get Patton's picks up.
Now it's time for Did You Get Our Picks?
We'll tell you what we like, what we really, really like.
Yeah, tell me what you like, what you really, really like.
We're going to do some recommendations. Patton, what you got?
Well, I went and revisited a couple of movies I hadn't seen in a long time, and boy, oh boy, did they hold up to second viewings. The first one is called The Woman Chaser, directed by Robinson DeVore. It stars Patrick Warburton. It was made in the early aughts. It is the closest thing I've ever seen, the closest version to Charles Williford's writing. Charles Williford was a great crime writer. Three movies have been made from his book so far. One is called The Burnt Orange Heresy. It's not that good. Then Cockfighter.
Movie's not that good, or the book is not that good?
The movie is not that good. Oh, okay. The book's great.
Okay.
And then there's a movie from the 70s called Cockfighter with Warren Oates that is incredible. And then there's a movie from the early 90s with Alec Baldwin called Miami Blues that is unbelievable. But this movie, The Woman Chaser, is the closest to kind of capturing Williford's kind of view of male psychosis and fragility. And Patrick Warburton stars, and he is amazing. Seek this movie out.
That's rare, because usually movies about fragility and all that kind of like craziness is about a woman usually.
This is about a man who is coming apart at the seams, and Warburton should have gotten an Oscar for his role.
I want to see that.
He's so good.
Oh, what's that called?
It's called The Woman Chaser.
Okay, I want to watch that.
Yeah. Charles Williford stuff is real. And they also tried to make a TV series out of the Hoke Mosley novels. That's the one that Miami Blues is based on they shot a pilot with Paul Giamatti, and it did not go. And Paul Giamatti was born to play broken down cop, Florida cop, Hoke Mosley. And it didn't happen, and it still breaks my heart to this day. The other one that I looked at was one of my favorite crime writers is a guy named Jim Thompson, who wrote the books that got made into movies like The Grifters.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes, yeah. Well, the best adaptation so far is a French film from the late 70s called Série Noire, directed by...
How do you spell it?
S-E-R-I-E-N-O-I-R-E.
I know how to spell noir.
Directed by Alain Camus and starring Patrick Dewaere, who sadly died shortly thereafter. And oh boy, does it nail how psychotic Jim Thompson's view of crime and the criminal world was. They cut out a lot of the weird incestual stuff from the book The Grifters when they made it into a movie. They don't cut anything out of Série Noire, which is based on his book A Hell of a Woman. Seek these two movies out. You will really, really like them. Music! The Rivulets, their album I Remember Everything. There's a song called Ride On Molina, one of the most beautiful, haunting, gorgeous songs.
What's his name?
Ride On Molina. M-O-L-I-N-A.
What's that actor's name? Alfred.
Oh, Alfred Molina? Yeah. I don't think it's about Alfred Molina. It was, because I love him.
I love him.
Alfred Molina rules. Books. This is such a specific recommendation. But go pick up Appendix N, Eldritch Roots of Dungeons and Dragons. This is edited by a guy named Peter Bebergal. And what the title refers to is, in the original Dungeon Master's Guide, there's a thing called Appendix N, where the creator of Dungeons & Dragons lists all the writers who inspired Dungeons & Dragons. And so he collects all the short stories that he used to build the world of D&D.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you've got stuff like Jack Vance, Fritz Leiber, H.P. Lovecraft, Michael Moorcock.
Oh, my God.
All that stuff.
Wait, he collects all their short stories?
All the short stories that this guy, Gary Gygax, grew up reading that then helped him form Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow.
And it's pretty fascinating. The roots of that game, where it came from.
It's interesting.
It's a very fun read. And then comics, great new series called Primordial by Jeff Lemire. He's the guy who created Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth is good. We've been watching that.
Great show on Netflix. Great adaptation. This has art by Andrea Sorrentio and Dave Stewart. Primordial, it is about the first animals that were sent up into space. You remember Lake of the Dog and the monkey that NASA sent up that never came back?
The monkey never came back.
Well, they died up there. But comic book is about how, no, they didn't die up there. They were recruited by another civilization.
And
now
stayed.
They are coming back.
Uh-oh.
Much advanced.
Yeah, and, you know, often it's like, you know, you get brainwashed by the people who kidnap you, mm-hmm. and then maybe it's, you know, it's like a Patty Hearst situation. Yeah.
It is one of those, the first issue, I've only read the first issue because only the first issue is out. It's so good. It reminds me of Brian K. Vaughan's first issue of a comic he did called Paper Girls, which has one of the best final pages I've ever read for the opening of a comic series.
Didn't Alice read Paper
Girls? I haven't given her Paper Girls yet. She has to wait a few years.
Maybe you gave it to me.
I gave it to you.
Yeah.
It's so good. And
you gave it to me, but again, I need you to read me the comic books and point to the picture for me.
Somebody please like donate to our Patreon to raise money to read comics to Meredith. Those are my picks.
You guys have been a great audience today. Thank you so much for listening. And email us if you want to say something, and otherwise have a beautiful day. Talk to you later.
See you next week.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? @gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.